dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome in once again to SVC Sports Talk, our 195th show, only five away from that magical 200th show, at which I'm sure Shane will probably have all kinds of great prizes for every listener, including some of his co-hosts as well, I'm sure. I am Bruce Knox, and as always, it's great to have you along for another episode with actually one of the two SVC sports nerds, Mr. Shane Combs. I'll get to Shane in just a minute. First of all, a quick thank you to our billboard sponsor, that being Triple Crown Family Fun Center, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe. You can find them on the web at www.triplecrownfamilyfuncenter.com, and you can give them a call at 740-773-7529. They are the place where you can find them open from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can get some good Cardo's pizza. You can have a party or any other event. They have the sports, all kinds of sports going on. I think we might be in the midst of some soccer at this point in time. They have the arcade and, of course, Super Inflatable Land. Again, find them on the web, www.TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. And now we'll say hello to Shane Combs. Mr. Combs, how are we?
Oh, I'm fantastic, Bruce. I'll tell you, it's what an exciting week. I think anyone who calls themselves a fan of SVC sports, if you couldn't get excited this past week, then I don't know, you might want to
check your blood pressure, huh?
Well, you might want to pack up and try like the SOC or the Mid-State League or something, because this is about as good as our league can get. I thought there was some really good stuff going on this past
week. Well, let's talk about that. Last week, we were kind of ballyhooing things, calling it championship week, and we want to talk about the week in detail throughout the show, but first, did it live up to the hype? You've kind of shown your hand, I believe, but what do you think? Did it live up
to the hype? I think so. I mean, you know, football, which I'll explain a little bit later, I thought that was really a pretty unique Friday night. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Uniota Golf doing some good stuff as they continue their stranglehold really on the history of SVC golf. And then the Uniota Southeastern volleyball game was played at a really crazy high level. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just that's just to highlight a few things. I mean, it's just a pretty exciting time to follow some SVC sports.
And I would digress a little bit here by telling you that we do not have Mr. Dr. Webb with us tonight. Dr. Webb is out getting paid to do a job, I guess is what it amounts to. He's doing some sports work for the Gazette and was not going to be able to be with us this evening when we're taping. So yes, we wish him the best, and we'll bring him back in next week. I think we're just going to have to continue to dock his pay, just as we've done in the past when he doesn't show up. So
yes, when you work with someone at the level of one Dr. Webb, yes, you just have to give and take a little bit with his busy schedule.
Yeah, we sure do, and we appreciate him being with us as much as he can, but he couldn't be here tonight, so this might be a good night if we want to, you know, do any character assassination. We can do so tonight later on. Well, let's start the show then talking about volleyball. You mentioned it earlier, Uniota at Southeastern. What is your reaction
at Uniota? Southeastern at Uniota.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay. What is your reaction about that evening of fun that you had out there?
Well, I think the major thing that we learned, Bruce, is that both are really good.
Yeah.
You know, Uniota in Division II, really a legit district title contender, which obviously is what we found watching at Southeastern High School there at the district level the last couple of years. That's some really good volleyball when you start to get to that level. We already know from earlier in the year how good Logan Elm is. Southeastern, I know, lost to Gowie over the weekend here a couple weekends ago. So we know some of the D2 teams In the past that have come to Southeastern there, and certainly that's a high level of volleyball, but Uniota certainly is in that mix and capable of playing with anybody. Then on the Division III side, we learned that the Southeastern, quite frankly, is a legit Final Four team, really. I mean, there's obviously going to be a team that comes out of the East there that always, like a Tuskegee Valley, that type of team that always seems to be pretty elite. But when you consider Southeast Ohio, right now, and again, a lot can change, but right now, Southeastern seems to be setting the standard in Division III here in Southeast. I know as we record here on Monday night, I just see that they take down North Adams in straight sets. When you look at a Zane Trace Nelsonville score over the weekend, or if you look at some Huntington Alexander types of scores following Wheelersburg, just a lot of teams throughout the Southeast. It seems to be the SVC is continuing to set that standard down there at Waverly in that district. Mm-hmm. And right now, obviously, Southeastern in the first round has shown that. I mean, for me, I also learned that Uniota can go to a completely, just a different level. Mm-hmm. They played at a level, Bruce, that night for about a set and a half, right, starting late first set through the second set. That's about as high a level as I've seen that group play in the time I've been following them in their career. It was impressive the way they spurted with efficiency and some size, and they played with some speed. They played with a raw emotion. I even tweeted this out. They played with a raw emotion that, quite frankly, I haven't seen, and I've even maybe picked on as a weakness of that group in the past. The passion was just real. You know, it was, you know, sometimes you see some emotion or you see some celebrations and it might be just a part of a routine or whatever. Yeah. I just felt like their reactions were very authentic. They were very just real in terms of how invested they were in what was going on. And you know, as far as Southeastern goes, their ability to fight back, oftentimes you go through getting knocked around. I think at one point in the first set, 13-0 run, which that's crazy in rally scoring. Usually someone just accidentally messes up.
Yeah.
Especially when you have two elite teams, you don't expect to see that type of run. It would have been really easy for Southeastern to fold. But not only did they not fold, they really had come back and had every opportunity to send the match into a fifth set. There was kind of a tough break that cost them there in the middle of the third set, and they continued the fourth set, and they continued to fight. And you know, you go, so I don't know, you know, like anything, I sit and evaluate. I'm sure when I coach and people watch, you know, I'm sure they do that. I know I sit here and watch the Reds or watch my favorite football team or whatever. And just as a sports fan, you just naturally analyze, you know, you're constantly looking at things to see. I certainly think, Uniota, when they can find that intensity, they can play there. Southeastern has a few little tweaks and rotations that they're trying to maybe figure out with some passing, or maybe where they don't have quite the same power at the net and a couple rotations compared to some others. But I think that's what makes these games so great, Bruce, is when you're playing a weaker part of your schedule, oftentimes, no matter what you do, I think I even said this last week, no matter what you do, it works. You know what I'm saying? You're so talented compared to that bottom half of your schedule. A lot of times you need to play these teams to figure out where you can get exposed. And that's what's going to make these teams, they have the second half of the season, the tweak and the fix a little bit. That's what's going to make these teams so special into the tournament run.
Well, you had some audio from that. You want to kind of set that up?
Well, yeah. I you know, after the match, you know, I had a chance to talk to the Uniota setter, Maddie Everts. Obviously, she was terrific in this match, running that offense and getting so many hitters involved, such a balanced attack. I really thought the audio did a nice job of explaining how the night goes. Let's go and run that for the fans.
Well, the first thing I wanted to ask you about was just the atmosphere in this place tonight. I know it was fun to watch. It had to be fun to play in.
Oh, yeah. I love playing big games like this, and everybody gets into it. It's so fun.
Well, both teams are so good at the net. We had probably, if you list the top 12, 13 hitters in the league, you probably had 8, 9, 10 of them in the match tonight. Just having the balance across the front row, just how much easier does that make your job?
it makes it a lot easier, you know. Once I get a good setup, then I know it's almost going to be a kill. And then you have the big block up there, so that helps our back row. We get better passes, better sets for me, easier.
As a leader and watching you play the last couple of years, it's just an observation I made tonight, so you tell me I'm wrong or not. But early in the match, it just seemed like you guys played with an emotion or an intensity that was almost outside of your personality a little bit. It just seemed like a little bit more excitement, a little bit more energy than normal. Is that a fair statement? And if so, is it just the significance of the match or just something that's starting to come out on this team this year? Or talk to me about that a little bit.
Yeah, we've always struggled with that, like getting everybody up and excited, especially when we play teams that aren't very good. It's hard to get excited. So I think it was more intensified because of who we're playing. But I think it's starting to get better and come out more with everyone.
Now, last year you had a similar big win, early in the year, and then you kind of turned around and dropped one. Now, as a senior and as a leader of this team, can you draw on that? And what will be the message to your team as you go into the second round, knowing how good the SVC is in volleyball, that you don't want to slip up?
Yeah, well, we just have to keep playing hard. And now that we've won, every team wants to come back and beat us. So we just have to work twice as hard and keep it up.
Well, I always enjoy watching you play. Best of luck the rest of the way out.
Thank you.
Well, again, that was senior setter Maddie Evertson. You know, Bruce, a couple things that jump out at me in talking to her. One is just her demeanor and her focus in terms of even as I talked to her, some other people about her after the match and different things about how she's so even keel, and that's what kind of makes her a good leader. She doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. But at the same time, I did notice a little bit of emotion. I thought it was interesting that she recognized that was a little bit of a weakness of the team in the past, and how that's added a little bit. In that particular match, she had 38 assists, 25 digs. But I think what's also interesting on her stat sheet, I noticed that she still hasn't missed a serve on the year.
Wow.
But in her serve that night, you know, a lot of times you get people that have that and they just get a real, like, just easy put it over serve. Well, with her, she's scoring 18 points and having three aces that night. So that tells you they're getting something out of that part of the rotation too. So just really nothing on the court she cannot do. She's involved defensively, like I said, the 25 digs, but she also is involved in four total blocks. So just a nice all-around player. And then when I go down the list, Hannah Hall, 11 kills, Taylor, 6 kills, Fisher, 11 kills, McGill, 13 kills on 22 attacks. That's phenomenal. So Cottrell was really big in the first set. She had 8 kills. So just obviously set up with the passing of Pinkerton, Cottrell, and Coleman. Like I said, there was about a set and a half stretch there where they played about as high as 11. Southeastern will be fine. They're really, really good, Bruce. They really are. I might have dented their confidence momentarily, but they come back and playing really well. They just have a few things to kind of iron out, like I said, to where they can maybe find a few things in one or two of those rotations that's really kind of hurting them. They'll pass it a little bit better, maybe even get Skeens in a situation where she can kind of impact the match a little bit more at the necessary times, and they'll be fine. My number one takeaway is those two teams are really, really good and really prepared for the second half of the season.
Well, we'll be watching them. Moving on down through the volleyball action, you've got Adina starting to show some signs too as well.
Yeah, they really are, Bruce. I mean, and here's the thing. If you're surprised, I guess I would ask you why. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's one Adina. Of those things. If in the last 20 to 30 years, Laura Smith and Donna Atchison haven't proven to you that they can coach volleyball a little bit, then maybe you haven't been paying attention. And I think what's neat about it is, you know, when we talk identity with teams, Adina's kind of been able to get back to its staple, mm-hmm. which is that passing and defense. And once they've started to pass and defend a little bit better, it seems like everything's just fallen into place. When they're able to play a little bit faster, because see what happens with them, Bruce, they're really, really short at the net. Mm-hmm. So if they're not handling the ball well and they're not able to play with a little bit of pace, they just get swallowed up by size. That's what happened to them in their first Huntington loss of the year. That's what happened when they struggled a little bit, say, with a Westfall and so forth. But as their ball handling has started to improve and they've been able to pass it just a little bit cleaner and get into their stuff a little quicker, the speed in which they're playing really started to give, like, for example, it had given Piketon problems in the first half of the year. The other night, it kind of started to give Huntington some problems. And I think, you know, don't look now, but they're, 10-6 overall, and You know, they have Laney Shea back to her normal 5-1 offense. And, you know, what's so special about Shea is she almost gives you that 6-2 effect, because when she's in the front row, her ability to take that second ball over, you know, as a blocker, if you don't recognize in the scouting report that she's live, and it still amazes me 2 or 3 years later how some teams still don't recognize she's live until she's the, you know, knocked 2-3 tips or kills over or whatever it might be on the second ball. But when that ball's coming up, and when I say live, for people that don't follow volleyball, it just means that she's allowed to attack out of her front row spot, which she would not be allowed to do out of the back row. Mm-hmm. And she's able to take that ball over. Now, obviously, that takes some great passing. The more accurate that pass is up to the net into that spot, she's able to do different things with it. But I just thought she completely took the Huntington match over the other night. She was outstanding. Just a big time performance. I don't have that right in front of me, but I want to say she was pushing the 20-20-20 night, which is really wow. rare. I think she had like 18 kills, 24, you know, digs, 25 assists, somewhere in that ballpark, you know, which is just incredible. And what's happened now too, now that their best player's back in her natural spot, it's really allowed some of the role players to settle in. I thought Reese Kearns, from a serving standpoint and just efficiency, played some of her best volleyball the other night. Obviously, with Bo Starks trying to hit and attack a little bit. Bossert, overall player, you know, she's a terrific talent as well. Kelsey does a great job. So, yeah, I guess with Adina at 10-6, they're just going to keep on getting better. And again, I would ask you why if you were shocked.
Right, right. Well, let's invert things a little bit and talk about the bottom four: Westfall, Zane Trace, Huntington, and PV. What potential do you see for them?
Well, I think any time – you've heard me say it before. I think any time the Paint Valley comes up, I think two things come to my mind. One is you've heard me say how brutal it is trying to rebuild in the SVC.
Right.
And there has to be a level of patience with that. You know, there's so many teams out there in Southeast Ohio that, you know, are not as good as the SVC.
Right.
But unfortunately for Paint Valley, 14 of their matches are going to come inside the SVC. So there has to be a level of patience there in Bainbridge. But it's the second thing that comes to my mind is the enjoyment of watching them prepare throughout the year for D4. You know, right now, some of their overall records get them in a situation, even in D4, where they're playing some of the elite teams. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some really good teams like Notre Dame. I know earlier in the year, I had a chance to watch them play down at Piketon, and they were a little banged up. Someone told me they were getting healthier. I know they actually beat Uniota in a set tonight. They went 4, but Uniota did win the match. But what's happened in the Paint Valley is they're struggling to put together enough overall wins sometimes to get out of that, some of those top brackets. But that's something to pay attention to for them. Other than that, I think Zane Trace, Westfall, Huntington have to keep their eyes on a higher prize. You know what I'm saying? I mean, sectional championships are definitely still realistic. District runner-up, even district championship, if they get in the right matchup. I mean, I know it's been a disappointing record for Huntington, but mm-hmm. you're talking about a team that won at Adina. Zane Trace beat Huntington in 5, just lost to Nelsonville in 5 on the road the other day. You know, Westfall is won at Huntington. Westfall, you know, beats Zane Trace. Westfall goes 4 with Adina. So you're talking about teams that have
capacity or capability.
Oh, there's no question, Bruce. And I think with Zane Trace, Ran is now in the mix after she was sitting out her half of her games, where she comes in. She's there. What's that going to do to their rotation and chemistry? You always ask yourself that question, especially in a sport like volleyball. Mm-hmm. But they have time to mix that up. With Westfall, they have such good size. They have such a good leader and someone like Darby Beavers. Phillips has gone to a completely different level. She's been by far the biggest takeoff star, the newcomer of the year here over the last couple weeks, and what she's giving to them. And then, you know, Huntington with Riley Black, I thought she was really, really good the other night in the Adina match. And then they just have some athletes across the board there. They have some balance. So when you start talking athletes like Braden Collins, Gus Hooks has had a nice year. Cheyenne Conley's a nice athlete. Miranda McCloskey, Micah Cox. So, you know, there's kids there that can certainly play. They just have to be patient, because they've started to tweak their rotation a little bit, Bruce, but you know this from sports. They're getting ready to go through what could be a tough week. Now, they did beat Vinton County in non-conference tonight, but I believe in some order they play Piked and Uniota this week.
Okay.
So obviously you can continue to play better, but not have it show up in the win column.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the key for Huntington is going to be, can they ride this out and be patient enough with some of their changes to see if they can't see the benefit here in 2 to 3 weeks to come.
Okay. So we've not mentioned Piketon. Where do they fit in all this?
Yeah, I mean, it's you certainly don't leave them out, but they are kind of settling themselves into a category of their own, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they certainly have proven to be better than those underneath, and they're trying to stick their nose in up top. You know, they did take a set from Adina. They did take a set the other night from Uniota. But they're just kind of fighting their way. You know, we talked about don't look now, but you know, here's a team that's 12-4.
Yeah.
So every goal, I talked about this all the way back in the preseason show. I felt like if they will just simply do what it is they need to do or supposed to do, that everything they want to accomplish is going to be right out in front of them. You know, they're beating the teams they're supposed to beat. You know, they've had a couple scares, but they've been able to figure out a way to hold off some of these upsets. And, you know, they've got to be chasing that district title. You know, obviously, you know, we talked about Southeastern. We talked about Adina. We talked about Piketon. For the hope of the SVC, we hope everybody splits into their own bracket. Now, yeah. You never know how that's going to go. But if it does, if the brackets say they unfold like last year, Piketon becomes an overwhelming favorite to go to the regional.
Hmm.
So I think they, you know, just have to keep doing what they're doing. You know, with Conley at the setter position, she's been efficient enough to keep the two elite hitters, Chandler and Morris, together. You know, Lytle continues to get better. You've heard me say that the role players, the more and more experience they get, I think the key there, Bruce, is the word efficiency. You know, they don't have to do anything spectacular. They simply have to do what they do efficiently. You know, it's you know, serving with high efficiency, passing, serve, receive, you know, digging things up, you know, putting up enough of a block when it's your role to do so. And then I guess what I would challenge Chandler and Morris, and again, I feel like this is a fair challenge because, in my opinion, you're talking about two of the top, I don't know, four or five players in the league. I just feel like they have to continue to go all in. You know what I mean? They have to realize how talented they are, and they have to go out every night and just throw it out there in terms of, hey, here I come. If you can dig it up, the next time it comes to me, I'm going to send another rocket your way, and you can dig it up again. Because I think sometimes what happens is, you know, against some of the better teams, they start to maybe overthink it or they start to get a little frustrated. You know, they are so talented. A lot of times, you know, against a lot of teams on their schedule, they start sending rockets at you and they don't come back.
Yeah.
You know, against some of the more elite teams, they have to understand that there's going to be a little bit of a bigger block cheating to them. There's going to be a little bit more defense shifted their way. There's gonna be some better passers back there, and they just have to continue to compete hard. They can't let that get them frustrated. It's one of those things that if they send a rocket and someone digs it up, they have to be that eager just to send another one, and they just have to keep going. The last thing they can do is get timid in their approach, because I think those two have all the ability to take it to a completely different level. And all that's going to do is make Conley's job easier, and it's going to make Lytle's job easier, and it's going to make some of the role players be able to come along. But those two kids are certainly, certainly special. Rarely do you get two kids playing all the way around on the same team that are, you know, like I said, top 4 to 5 players in the league. And, mm-hmm. and I guess that equals why they're 12-4.
All righty. We'll be watching them along with the rest of SVC volleyball action as we go into round two. So lots to watch in there. Volleyball was only a part of championship week that we've been talking about. Next, we look back at a Friday night that was full of instant classic finishes. We move next into a little football, and sort of in the format of comments from the fans, brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment, 116 East High Street in Circleville. Give them a call, 740-477-9828. They are your source for SVC local school apparel, fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and sports equipment. Well, we did receive quite a few comments from the fans here, and a big topic of discussion from many different people, Shane, this week is, can you remember a better football Friday night in terms of all four games being so good in the recent history?
You know, the game I was at, which was Huntington at Paint Valley, I had some different people talk to me on the way to the car about that because they were following some updates, and then I had some people mention it to me over the weekend as well, and had another one on the way in school today, a guy at work I always talk football with. And you know, the more I think about it, Bruce, it's a pretty fair point. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty wild. I know at one point right around, I don't know, 8:45, 9 o'clock, it seemed like updates were coming in, and I'm in the middle of watching a game that was 20-20 going into the fourth quarter, no one scores, goes into overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And then about that time, Zane Trace, who looked like they were going to get blown out early, they come back, have cut Uniota down to lead to 7, and they have the ball, I think it was under 3 minutes or at 3 minutes to go. That was a 7-point game at the time. Pike and Southeastern was tied fairly late, and then even when Southeastern scored first of two late scores, they were up 7, and Pike had the ball back. And then Edina Westfall, which ended up in a 7-point game. Obviously, Edina had an opportunity down just one score. So you were into, at least I believe, I can't remember the exact time of the Piketon Southeastern game, but you were pretty much into the middle of the fourth quarter, and every score was a one possession game. And I think at one particular time, every team that was down possessed the ball. So it was just really, really exciting to kind of see the different updates coming in. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, parity to me is an exciting thing. I mean, when I look back over, you know, it's just more parity than I've ever seen. I don't remember a time growing up, Bruce, where football had that parity. You know, I grew up in a time in the SVC where Paint Valley Westfall was kind of elite, and you know, maybe Piketon or Edina had some solid programs. Zane Trace and Uniota were never great over the years. I think a lot of it had to do with they were spreading their enrollment out with soccer, and a lot of teams hadn't been doing that. Cross country and golf and some other secondary sports weren't growing yet at the other schools. And then now what's happened is, you've heard me talk about this, I think over the last 10 years, a lot of these secondary sports have started to grow at the smaller school. It's allowed football to catch some momentum. Obviously, Zane Trace here of late, yeah, over the recent history has been dominant. And now, man, I tell you, Uniota really in a position to kind of do something special this year. So we'll kind of wait and see. But, you know, when I look back at the parity, it's just really something special. I remember last year Huntington being a last place team and being within 3 of Zane Trace in the middle of the fourth quarter. I remember Westfall last year being also tied in last there with Huntington and maybe losing by like 1 to Piketon, who was a near SVC champion. So I just, in football, Bruce, I'm sure you know this as well. I don't remember a time where the bottom teams were able to compete with the top teams. And man, that parity top to bottom can really give you some special Friday nights.
Makes for some exciting Friday nights, doesn't it? It really does.
Sure does.
Well, let's talk about a couple of the games individually. First, Uniota beating Zane Trace. And as you said, there, it was tight until the last bit, I think.
Well, it was. But I tell you, Uniota's defense just continues to be the story. It's like it's a broken record. I can't get over what they're doing. I mean, 5 Zane Trace turnovers. And you know, you can talk about mistakes or you can talk about errors or whatever. At some point, you have to give the athletes on the defensive side the credit for causing them.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you have here. 3 interceptions, 2 fumble recoveries, and I guess what jumps out at me is 5 different people are involved in that. Ryan Burns, Jamarcus Carroll, Nehemiah Phelps, all with an interception. Jeremy Good, Chris Skaggs with fumble recovery. So anytime you get 5 different people, and then – yeah, we know about Bryce and Poole and some of these other guys that are really athletic as well. So I think the thing that jumps out at you on the defensive side of the ball is how it's just not 1 or 2 stars doing it. It's a long, long list of athletes that are really producing. You know, Zane Trace does come back a little bit. They get it the 14-0 and down at halftime they score to make it 14-7. Then they fall down 21-7. Drew Rittenhouse with the big kickoff return 21-14. And then, you know, Gabe Fisher just continues to get better. He goes back up 27-14. And then this is what I was talking about right here. After game scores at 27-21, you know, you have a game all of a sudden. But Fisher is able to put the game away there with a 10-yard run to give you your final. So I tell you, just if you're Uniota, you got to feel real, real excited. Obviously, they have a big showdown coming right back at you this week, but certainly an exciting time for Uniota football to build off of last year's kind of record-setting year for that school and program to be back in a situation this year. And you know, obviously disappointing for Zane Trace because, like we said, in a one-round sport like football, Bruce, now all of a sudden – no matter how good they are the rest of the way, they're going to need help.
Yeah.
So that's the nature of football when you have that one Friday night. So, yeah, Uniota's got to be excited about their ability to control that own destiny.
Okay, how about Southeastern beating Piketon?
Well, another team that controls the destiny there in Southeastern. Yeah. Now 5-0, and, you know, I think each week – everyone starts asking some people, hey, will you scooch over there on that bandwagon a little bit? Let me maybe jump on the back there. And you know, I don't think that's any secret.
Wasn't this the one that Mr. Webb picked Southeastern? He thought they were going to give him a pretty good run for their money in the SVC.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was pretty high on them. Now, I know both of us in this particular game like Southeastern in this matchup. But, yeah, Derek certainly – spoke real highly of the offensive line and some of those young men, and obviously Stouffer and Hauser and Layton Ruby now being a year older, obviously being a sophomore quarterback compared to a freshman quarterback's a really big deal. And, you know, like I said, you just start scooching over there a little bit. And with each win you go, now they're even in a position where obviously, you know, you heard me at the beginning of the year say, I think it's going to take, it's probably going to take a gold ball to win it outright. Yeah. Now, you might get some help, and we may end up in one of those unique try situations, but you have to feel like the Southeastern Uniota head-to-head becomes, you know, really, really intense battle for who's going to be in the driver's seat. But, you know, in this game, I can't get over what they're doing in the ground game. But what topped this game off was our Herbie Strange Athlete of the Week, Layton Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
On our stat sheet, Bruce, I want to say – And I don't have that in front of me. I want to say he comes into the week throwing the ball like 13 times on the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And in this game, he was 7-for-10, and he had the touchdown pass. Plus, he ended up running it 13 times for 67 yards and a score. So when he starts to compliment and shows the ability to keep that ball around the edge and do some different things, all that does is start to – keep people from creeping that 9th, 10th, sometimes even against Southeastern, 11th guy up in the box. It's like they're almost daring him to throw. But if he starts to prove he can do that, Trey Brown makes the big play through the air. Brown had 4 receptions, 82 yards in that game. So when he starts giving them the opportunity to throw it and get a little bit out of the passing game, you know, obviously Galloway at Piketon continues to do good stuff. He was well over 100 yards, 2 TDs. I think he even had a rushing TD as well. But yeah, we'll see if Piketon continues to grow. They obviously have the passing attack to be dangerous, but in this particular case, the story continues to be Southeastern's ground game, and now all of a sudden being complemented by the air attack.
Let's talk about our other 4 teams. First of all, Westfall beats Edina by 1 score, and then Paint Valley beats Huntington in overtime. You talked about a little bit about that earlier.
Yeah, we'll start with that Westfall game. We know how good Gibson is. You hear me talk about him every week. He was well over 200 yards. He had a couple touchdowns. He was over 100 yards rushing with a touchdown. But what jumped out at me was Seth Spellman. He rushes 17 times for 142 yards and 2 scores. And when they start to get that second ball carrier involved in the offense, that's when this team gets really dangerous. I've said all along, I think Westfall is a team to watch in the second half that's really scary. They play some pretty tough non-league opponents up there. They have gone through some stretches where they had some guys out early in the year. They're starting to get healthier. And, you know, we'll see as the schedule starts to turn here into league play. We obviously knew they started with Zane Trace. That was a tough matchup for him, but they get this win here. They're coming up on some games that they might even be favored in a little bit, so we'll see how that goes. As for Adina, they continue to get some nice numbers out of Nichols and Blevins, playing the young quarterback. The Sykes kid, he had a touchdown pass, so I'll be interested to see how they continue to grow. But, yeah, the story in this one for me, Bruce, was Spellman kind of adding that little punch. Robert Walt Lawler, obviously, too, with two touchdown catches. Nice night. But I was at the Huntington-Paint Valley game, and it was really one of the better football games you'll ever see in high school football, Bruce. It really was. It was – you heard me mention in the opening, it was 20-20 going into overtime.
Right.
And Paint Valley takes the ball. Lane Mettler, who had 45 yards and two scores on the night, he scores that second touchdown in overtime. They go up 26-20. Paint Valley's kicking game, a little uncharacteristic of that program, has been a little bit sloppy this year. So they go for two. And another guy that had a really big night for Paint Valley, Mackie McDonald, he rushed it close to, I don't have that in front of me, I think close to 20 times, over 100 yards, had the big two-point conversion. So they go up 28-20. Huntington gets a chance to match.
Yeah.
Well, Huntington hands it to Gavin Snyder three straight times, and he runs like a kid possessed. he scores. He goes 12 yards, I think 7 yards, and then goes 1 yard on the TD plunge, and it's 28-26. Okay. So fans that weren't there, see if you can follow this. Huntington goes on a rollout pass for the two-point play to tie the game, to send it to a second overtime. The ball falls incomplete. There's a penalty, and Elijah McCloskey, the Huntington quarterback, goes down over by the Paint Valley sideline. Well, because the trainer comes on the field, I mean, obviously the trainer should come on the field. They assume there was an injury or whatever. I mean, he was down. So because they come onto the field, he has to come out.
Yep.
For a play. So here you are faced with, now granted it goes half the distance of the goal line, but still you have a play without your quarterback on the field all of a sudden. Well, now backup quarterback, you know, takes the ball and they're in shotgun. So even though they're on the 1.5 yard line, keep in mind the ball's being snapped about 4 to 5 yards back. Well, everybody in the entire, you know, village of Bainbridge knows the ball's going to Gavin Snyder, I would think, at that point. And, you know, they were able to stuff him about inches short of the goal line. But I know Coach Holland said that Travis Burton made quite a play there. Tessie had come in. Tiger Tessie had come in and kind of was able to help keep Snyder out of the end zone there. But Tessie was terrific that night. I know he had a touchdown catch and a touchdown run. I think he had two interceptions on defense. So, just a terrific high school game. You know, can't say enough about McCloskey. Had over 100 yards rushing, had two rushing TDs. Snyder had 55 yards in the two scores. Kanan Knowles had a couple interceptions for Huntington. That was a pretty fun athletic matchup against Cruz McFadden, who comes into the game averaging the most yards per catch in the SVC. So those are two really elite athletes going at it. Just a lot of fun. When you combine those four games together, Bruce, I could certainly see why some fans were asking that question in our opening about it being one of the better Friday nights.
Certainly sounds like it. It really does. Well, let's head now to our hurry-up offense.
Yeah, we're gonna do a championship week theme. You know, you've heard us talk about all the different things in volleyball, golf, football, and so forth. We're going to go with a championship week theme. And as always, our hurry-up offense will be brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club, 740-986-4653. I know they had a junior high matchup there tonight. I know they'll have some postseason golf coming up as well. So they'll be in the news, and you'll always read about that. Again, give them a call, 740-986-4653. Obviously, with me flying solo here, Bruce, I'll try to maybe double up on my answers when possible to try to give more love out there to people that might be listening for their school or their favorite athletes being mentioned. But okay. If you're okay with it, let's go ahead and go championship week. Hurry up offense.
Unioto Golf, Unioto Southeastern Volleyball, and Unioto Zane Trace Southeastern Football. Out of all the championship week, what jumps out at you in terms of the coaches involved in the mix?
Well, obviously, as a coach myself, I have a great deal of respect for anyone involved in building championship level teams. One that's obviously big time biased to me is my high school coach, Dan Drummond, who continues to do it at Uniota, the special run they're on. So I'm a little personal bias there. Also a good friend of mine, Evan Gallagher, there at Southeastern Football, and what he's done with this group, not just this year on the 5-0 start, but over the process of building it over the last two or three years. But here's one I want to throw out there to the fans that they really need to pay attention to. Natalie Stolle at Uniota, no doubt, I'm not doubting that she took over a very talented group, but remember in the Maddie Everts interview earlier, Bruce, we talked about the passion that's starting to show in that team. I think Natalie deserves a lot of credit for that. She brings a little bit more intensity to that group, a little bit more fire, and I think that might have been the missing ingredient for this team in terms of to get them to play with just a little bit more intensity, a little bit more desire, and I think she deserves a lot of credit for that.
In looking back at all the championship action this week, which individual star shined the brightest?
Well, it's certainly easy to give the Uniota love. I can read the emails now. You know, the Maddie Everts, the Ty Schoblock being the player of the year, Uniota's football defense, we've already highlighted them. But I think I have to go back to what I mentioned earlier in the football with Lane Ruby. I just think that if Southeastern is going to do this, if Southeastern's going to be able to go toe-to-toe with Uniota or with Zane Trace, I think those two teams have enough size up front, enough athletes throughout their whole defense to at least get the Southeastern running game under control. So at some point, it's going to have to be Ruby either with his feet to the outside or with the arm over the top, just enough to keep them honest. So, again, I think Lane Ruby, again, which is our Herbie Strange Athlete of the Week, I think that's one that really shined bright that jumped out at me.
Let's look back at the championship action again. But this time, the question wants you to name the fans an overlooked role player who made the difference for his or her team.
Well, it's certainly easy to go back to Southeastern. You heard me mention Trey Brown. That Southeastern offensive line deserves a lot of credit. The job they've been doing, opening holes and working hard to bust open some big runs, is obviously worth mentioning. But how about Amber Cottrell maybe in the first set of that Southeastern match? I know she struggled maybe a little bit later in the match, but as a role player, her effort and her spark in the first set was really worthy mention. Also, Ty Schoblock's been instilling the headlines so much, but I think Calvin of Uniota's golf team is also another one I would throw in that mix.
Uniota Golf, Uniota Southeastern Volleyball, or Uniota Southeastern Zane Trace Football. Out of all the championship week, which team is best equipped for the postseason?
Well, Uniota Golf, this is one of the first years in a long time where moving to 5 in the tournament doesn't hurt them. Keep in mind, for people that aren't familiar with golf, you play 6 in the regular season. That moves back to 5 in the postseason. Usually that hurts Uniota because of their depth. This year's roster, a little bit more top-heavy, I don't think hurts them as much. If their 3 and 4 scores can come in, they've got a chance to maybe make a move. I'm not thrilled about Uniota Zane Trace because of some of the bigger schools in terms of division they play. In Southeastern football, honestly, not bad in the small division, especially the way they're kind of built for the cold weather. But I don't think this question's any question. The no-brainer here, Bruce, is the Uniota Southeastern Volleyball. You heard me talk about it in the opening. These two teams are tournament ready. I think we have a D2 district title contender. I think we have a D3 regional title contender, and it's going to be real exciting to watch it unfold here in the next month.
And that is our Hurry Up Offense for this episode 195, brought to you as it is each and every week by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call, 740-986-4653, and tell them the boys from SVC Sports Zone sent you. You know, Shane, I was listening to all that. I thought about, you know, when you have a week that is so hyped before, it's intense during, and then we analyze the crap out of it afterwards. What's the toughest challenge for those teams during that week?
I think it's probably to maintain the intensity.
Yeah.
It's not that, you know, a lot of times it's not that you're not aware of it. I mean, I thought it was just an awesome interview with Maddie earlier in the show. You know, she talked about, you know, When I asked her about last year, they had the big win against the Dean at the time, and then they went over and lost at Southeastern. Yeah, I think you learn from that. I think you understand the focus it takes. Now, even though you're aware of it, it's just human nature it's just so hard to get up for every match. Like, you know, if you couldn't get fired up for that Southeastern Uniota volleyball match, then you need to just go do something else.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's easy.
Yeah.
I mean, and I say it's easy. It really is. It's easy to get fired up because the atmosphere is just, I mean, I wasn't even playing, nor would I be in the shape to, and I'm sitting there in the stands and I even feel the energy a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of just, you know, I think with what they're going through, they just have to make sure that they don't have that letdown. They continue to keep their eyes on the prize because they even come back. They lose a couple sets here this week. Pretty good teams, Pike and Notre Dame. But nonetheless, they're going to have to stay sharp. Uniota Golf turns right around. You're straight into sectionals here. So they've got to go right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Southeastern Uniota football, they don't have time to celebrate. They got to come right back and get ready for another big game.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, to me, a lot of times in sports, we call them trap games.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's cliche, but you know why that's cliche? Is because over the years at every single level of sports, it's not just high school kids. You see it in the NFL or the NBA or in college sports. You know, when you watch certain teams, you know, you watch Oklahoma the other night in football about to go to Baylor and lose. Yep. It's just what happens. It's human nature. And I think the good teams have to constantly battle through that, and I think they do. I think maturity helps there. I think leadership helps there. But again, it's cliche because it happens enough times, and that's why it won't be the last time it's happened. So if you're one of these teams that's experienced success, you certainly have to guard against that.
Well, fans, so much of our show is made up of, you know, answering or talking about subjects that you give to us. And so I'm going to give you now the ability to contact either Shane or Derek, who's not here with us, but you can contact them just the same, with ideas, feedback, and that kind of thing that would allow us to continue on answering your questions, getting you involved as well. Shane can probably best be reached by email, and that is at admin1@svcsportzone.com. He also maintains the two profiles on Facebook where you can reach him. And you can get a hold of him on Twitter or just follow him on Twitter at svcsportzone.com. Derek, on the other hand, he is all over Twitter. You both were all over Twitter this weekend. I was getting all kinds of feed from you on particularly Friday night. It seemed like with all that was going on, you were both helping. And then last Tuesday night when I was actually at a volleyball game myself, but I was kind of living vicariously through you guys. But you were both on Twitter that night. But DW is available on Twitter at DW1509. And then you can also email him at, and this is where we get the Dr. Webb, drwebb@chillicothegazette.com. And so you can, we'd love to hear from you, good or bad. We've got thick skin, and Shane can argue all kinds of points and everything. So he'll do that through email or, you know, if we get lots of feedback on one particular subject, we'll probably include that in the next show. So those are the ways you can contact us. And then we move to our playing through segment. Lots going on in the golf world.
Well, it is. Again, we'll go Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a second shout out here tonight. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. Gosh, this weather right now is crazy. I can't believe all the golf I'm still getting to play late September. But anytime I get a chance to get up there to Crown Hill, Kevin's always such a gracious host. I appreciate all he does to support and to promote. Really has become, when you look at what he's doing with junior high golf and girls golf, and then obviously our golf league, he's really become one of the great ambassadors for SVC golf, and I know we certainly appreciate that. So again, give him a call, 740-986-4653. Make sure you always get a chance to support Crown Hill Golf Club when you can. And I guess with a playing through segment, Bruce, it makes sense that you have to start with your champion.
Dun, dun, dun. Yes.
Yeah, I mean with Uniota, I mean I mentioned it early, you know. What's unique for me is I had an opportunity to play for Coach Drummond way, way back, and that kind of probably makes him feel even older because he's been doing this since the late 80s. For people that are not sure about SVC golf, SVC golf started in the fall of 1993. So keep in mind, your fall sports are your senior class of that next year. Mm-hmm. So your 93 fall season would be your seniors of 94. So I was a graduate of 95. So actually my senior year of golf would have been 94. So my junior and senior year, which was 93, 94, I was fortunate enough to be a role player. I was a solid player, but certainly had really, really good teammates. I really did. I was a role player on some really, really good teams, and we were fortunate enough to win the first two league titles. And now Coach Drummond, this is the 25th year of SVC golf, and I believe this is his 17th title.
Not bad.
No. And I think 16th outright. I'd have to go back to my history page. You can go on the golf page, fans, and check out our history. That's all of our pages. You can go on the sports pages and look back for the history link. And we have a lot of neat stuff. And in golf, we list all 25 champions. I don't think I've added Uniota this year. I'll do that. But again, 16th, the 16th outright title. So that's a pretty special thing, Bruce.
It certainly is. What about all league selections this year, Shane?
Well, those are still unofficial. My stat guy was out of town on me this week, so again, not paying him enough. He'll get that hooked up for me. But unofficially, we know Ty Schoblock's the player of the year. He's been terrific. Uniota, Piked, and Westfall dominating that list. I think we only had two or three spots up for grabs from other schools. I know Williams of Edina was in there. Rickendaller from Southeastern. And I want to say Hunter Henneberger was real close. I don't want to sit here and announce something online because I'd have to go and crunch the numbers. But I think Hunter Henneberger was able to maybe stick his nose in there a little bit, and he's going to be within a stroke or two of either making it or not making it. So again, I'll get that up on the website ASAP when we can get those figured and then verify it with Coach Lee Master. Zane Trace does such a good job of helping us with the numbers, but always fun to look at that. And then obviously the coaches in the league will do some additions of honorable mention as well.
And then you want to touch on a little bit on junior high and the high school postseason.
Yeah, I mean, we touched on this a little bit there in my opening with Crown Hill Golf. The junior high scores is something we try to really promote, with just trying to help promote the game a little bit. And we certainly want to do that here. They play again tonight as we speak. I was just getting a text about an hour ago here on Monday night. Crown Hill was hosting junior high golf. I don't believe this was a league match. I think it was just a junior high match where they had some different schools involved. And no surprise here. It seems to be the same story all year long. Uniota wins the team event. Maddie Schultz of Westfall, she's your match medalist, shooting 38, I believe it was, there on her home course. And I think it's really interesting to watch what this Westfall girls team does and then watch what Maddie is shooting to see what that goes. I know Lauren Ragland, Zane Trace, Emily Lott, Uniota, there'll be some individuals in our girls tournament. But the reason I say that, Bruce, is a lot of times when you watch a kid in the seventh or eighth grade, you look and say, well, how will he or she physically be ready for varsity basketball or football or baseball or softball? In golf, you know, if they're playing certain tees that you can go ahead and measure it on, mm-hmm. golf's golf. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? It's one of those things where, other than maybe a little bit more pressure, you know, if you can hit the little white ball 38 times and put it in the hole, then there's nothing that says that you're going to have to go against bigger, faster, stronger next year. You're still just going against the golf course. So I think that's what's neat about the game of golf, is we can kind of predict that. And I think that's something to pay attention to.
All righty. We'll move now into our post-game comments brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment. They are located at 116 East High Street, Circleville. Give them a call, 740-477-9828. I know they've been doing a lot more of SVC school apparel. They've also got all kinds of sports equipment, your headwear that you'll need for the various sports and other sports accessories, along with some fitness gear as well. Give them a call up there, 740-477-9828. So we've come over kind of, I won't say that it's anticlimactic as we go into the week after championship, because there are still a lot of things that could be decided out there. But what's coming up on your mind in the week to follow?
Well, you can't help but look at Southeastern football schedule. You know, they get by that Piketon test there, and now they're going to have back-to-back home games of Zane Trace and Uniota, and you know, that's an exciting time. But you know, it's just you have tournament golf coming up. And then obviously volleyball continues to go through the second league round. But it's interesting. Now, Wednesday night, I haven't heard from Derek exactly what the roundtable plans are, but that's always something we look forward to, too. So I'll
how'd you do
I'll
on your picks this week?
Pretty well. I think I lost the Waverly game at Nelsonville. Man, that was impressive. Nelsonville, yeah. UTVC guys down there had to be something you take notice of. That was impressive. I lost that game, and then I lost the Zane Trace Uniota game. I think Derek lost those two games as well. Plus, he lost the Huntington in overtime game.
So you beat Derek, in other words.
Well, I think this week. So I think honestly, all three of us there at the round table would now be tied up. I believe so. Yeah, it's picking games can be really fun. A lot of times, I'm the first to mention. You can't help but get a little bit of bias involved. You know, obviously when I'm supporting the baseball guys there a little bit, or, you know, you teach at a school for 20 years and you have kids and different things, or, you know, sometimes, you know, there'll be certain games where, you know, having nephews for Huntington and so forth, you get, you know, wrapped up in certain things. So yeah, it's fun. It's something that kind of makes you pay attention a little bit more to the matchup. So sure.
Well, I enjoy going back on Facebook and watching the picks and listening to the round table quite a bit on, sometimes Wednesday night I'm busy, but I can go back on Facebook and under the Chillicothe Gazette site or their Facebook page, you can listen again. You know, you can listen live as it's streamed live, or you can listen afterwards as well. And when I'm not available, that's a really great thing. So
yeah, really growing. Last week, I don't know if you could tell there on film, but man, that was one of our best crowds in at Jimmy John's. Obviously, down at Piketon is one of our best crowds every year, but Southeastern really brought a nice crowd the other night there in at Jimmy John's. It was a nice atmosphere.
All right. Well, we'll be looking for that. We've got a few minutes here, Shane. Don't know whether you got anything else to bring up.
Well, one more thing. I know we're getting close to the hour mark here. One other thing I'll throw out there, Bruce, and this is something you and I haven't even really talked about off the air. I'll just throw it out there. And if you have a comment, you know, we don't really have to get into it this week.
Okay.
It had come to me so many times at school today. I was in at the store and even had run into a gentleman that I think I kind of knew the face, you know, how you know people through the area and stuff. But the one thing I'll just throw out there for discussion here in our post-game comments is all of the different national anthem, the protesting, the different things. They mentioned it in youth sports taking place some. And they talked to me a lot about my concern as a high school coach or as a teacher or just, you know, just as a person in general. And it's just something that, you know, I wasn't sure where the fans, you know, looked at it in terms of a role of SVC Sports Talk. So, mm-hmm. you know, I try to keep this show of being something that someone can go to. We feel like that we have a really solid listening base that they come to this specifically for their enjoyment of SVC sports. So I've always said that as a coach, anything that you think's relevant in the SVC or relevant in high school sports, I'd certainly be willing to talk about and have great dialogue. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we're giving our fans 30 shows a year that they feel like, hey, for an hour, there's a reason I come to SVC Sports Talk, because I want that SVC Sports Zone, you know, to give me that SVC 100% of the time, as we like to say. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Obviously, it's a huge story right now that's in the sports world, you know. So I just thought I'd throw that out there at the end. I'm sure down your guys' way you've had conversation of it too, but I wanted to throw that out there at the end of the show. Maybe fans give me some feedback on a direction you'd like to see the show go there, because I can certainly see both sides in terms of where it is certainly involved in high school sports or could be. And I, you know, but at the same time, if it's something fans kind of like us to stay more on the SVC content, we certainly don't mind going that route too. So I just thought I'd throw that in out there, as fans always give such good feedback.
All right. Let us know through the feedback channels that we already mentioned. If you have anything, any thoughts on that subject, I'm sure there are some thoughts out there. And one of them may be it's not something that we need to discuss, but let us know that. So,
sure.
All right. And we'll be back next week with episode 96. And I'm sure, Shane, that you've been giving some really great thought to, I think we're going to make show 200 here by the end of football season, if I'm not mistaken. It's going to be either that one or the opening show for basketball. So I'm sure the staff is working hard coming up with great.
We really all, in all honesty, we all, you say that like, you know, you're joking, but yeah. We really are, and I'm not sure. You know, I've had some different ideas. It's just, again, I'm going to have to get with the people of Dr. Webb there, because when someone is as busy and as high profile as he is, we may have to book him well in advance to make sure that we get him for that. But, yes, we do have some different ideas. If we can pull them off, I think it would really be a neat thing to for show 200. That's crazy.
That is.
200 of SVC Sports Talk.
That is crazy. So, Derek, wherever you may be, have a great night, and we'll see. Yeah. Hopefully next week.
Yeah. Well, Bruce, I certainly appreciate you jumping in here on the Monday night and getting this done. I apologize to the fans. Anytime we do it on Monday, it obviously comes out a little bit later than normal. But we'll hopefully get back to our normal lineup next week and go from there. So I'll tell you what, until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes there at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, wherever you might be this evening, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC. 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.